Good evening and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name's Tony Nixon and I'll be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we start. If you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it on silent and can ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery. If there's any disruption to the meeting, you can be asked to leave. On my right, I've got officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I've got officers from the Law and Governance Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. The first item is the minutes. Can we have a proposal to accept the minutes?
Seconded.
Thank you. Do we have any apologies?
Councillor Cross, Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any members with an interest or any lobbying? Okay, thank you. Oh, Scott, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, I, as before, work for Severn Trent, however, I have no influence on planning decisions.
Okay, thank you. Delegated applications, these will be circulated separately to members. We now move on to item 5, which is planning applications. The first one is 24/39419 Full, land off Sandyford Street, Stafford. You're going to present this one there, Tanya?
Yep, okay. So, the site subject to this application comprises a vacant plot and depot building located within the settlement of Stafford and accessed via Sandyford Street here. The current application seeks permission for the conversion of the depot building into a place of worship and community centre, alongside the erection of single-storey extensions, a single-storey outbuilding for purposes of a mortuary and associated parking. So the site would use existing access points off Sandyford Street. So you can see here the site is outlined in red. The surrounding area is made up of a mix of residential dwellings with some commercial uses. We've got disused factory buildings to the south of the site alongside the former Sandonia building off Sandon Road. We've got Builders Merchant site up to the north here. The next slide shows where photographs have been taken on site. So image one is the view of the depot building from Sandyford Street. Slide 2 shows the existing palisade fencing and the single storey extension to the side as well. This image shows view towards the old factory buildings on the left and the residential properties on Sandon Road in the distance. This image shows the side elevation of the building as taken from Corporation Street. And this is a view towards Sandon Road from Corporation Street with the depot building on the left there. Image 6 shows the site taken from Sandon Road, so the depot building is just in the distance here. So it's currently gated off from Sandon Road. So this plan shows the location site edge red and blue edge, just for context, is ownership in the land in ownership of the applicant. We've got existing floor plans shown on this slide. As you can see, there's already an existing extension to the side here. Existing elevations of the building and an existing section, cross section through the building there. The next plan shows the proposed site plan. So we've got the extension shown here, the mortuary outbuilding here, and then associated parking. So there's 48 spaces shown, and your existing access points off Sandyford Street. These are your ground and first floor plans. So we've got the main multifunctional prayer hall, as well as entrances on the ground floor. First floor, we've got an additional press facility and alternative use as a classroom as well. And here's your proposed elevation. So we've got window openings added to the openings that are currently bricked up on this side elevation. We've got to the front elevation, we've got feature opaque glazing. Signage is shown, but that will be subject to a separate application, as is made clear in the informatives. And then there's some new cladding shown to these extensions here, so a grey timber cladding shown, some solar panels on top of the extension there as well. And this is just your proposed section through, so it shows the mezzanine floor there. And that's it for plans, so I'll just go back to the previous plan. So in terms of issues, the proposal will bring back into use an existing depot building and provide a community facility, and is therefore considered acceptable in principle. Members will note a number of representations from the public have been received, several of which are in support. However, the key considerations raised in objection relate to parking concerns, flood risk, and potential noise and disturbance. The proposed parking provision is considered to comply with the borough's parking standards for the proposed use, and the Highways Authority raised no objection, subject to conditions, secure parking access and visibility space, and a construction management plan, as well as a financial contribution towards the monitoring of the submitted travel plan. The site falls within flood zones 2 and 3 and is therefore at risk of flooding. However, as a place of assembly and leisure, the proposal is classed as a less vulnerable use in flood risk terms, as is the current storage and distribution use. The Environment Agency raised no objections on this basis, and the Leeds Local Flood Authority raised no objections, subject to the mitigation measures set out in the submitted technical note. In terms of noise and disturbance, regulatory services requested operating hours be restricted to the hours of between 8 a.m. and 11 p.m. and conditions surrounding not sound amplification equipment, ventilation units and lighting have also been recommended. The proposal is considered acceptable subject to the conditions listed in the officer report and a legal agreement to secure the travel plan contribution. We should note two additional representations have been received since the recommendation was made. One was raised in support, and another which raised a land ownership concern surrounding a small strip of the application site, which appeared to breach the boundary of number 31 Sandon Road. Amended plans have been received to remove this land from the red edge of the site. This amendment does not alter the assessment of the application. However, conditions 2 and 5, as set out on page 16 and 17 of the agenda, will need amending as follows to refer to the latest plans. So condition 2 should now refer to drawing number E100 revision B instead of revision A, and drawing number P103 revision J instead of revision I. Condition 5 should now refer to drawing number P103 revision J instead of I. Also to note, page 20 of the agenda shows the application site extending up to Sandon Road. This is incorrect and reflects the original red edge submitted that has since been reduced to retain the access to the rear of properties number 29, 27 and 31 Sandon Road here. And that's it for me.
Thank you. Yeah, we've got some speakers here. I've got Mr. Ian Carr, if you'd like to take a seat at the table in front of you. Mr. Carr, you've got 3 minutes, and I'll indicate when you've got 1 minute or so.
So not a long speech, I can assure you. A lot of the concerns that I'm raising tonight have already been mentioned. But as far as traffic, not only vehicular, but people traffic, and people coming into Stafford to go to the prayer centre, who don't know Stafford, they will park where they can, where there are no restrictions. The one major place is Oxford Gardens and Sandon Road, and especially with the flooding that people have suffered two or three, four times this year. That has not been addressed. So to get round that, people have to go down the roads that they can. And if people from elsewhere are parking in front of people's homes so as they don't have to pay parking, that in itself is causing a problem. The problems with the parking on sites, 40 spaces, I'm assuming there is an entrance and an exit, or is that a two-way system? Sandyford Street in itself has got no parking restrictions, but that is heavily used by people who park there for whatever reason, parking on the pavements, people, families with pushchairs, people in mobility scooters can't get past those, so they have to go on the road. The building itself is catering for 200 people plus. Does that include children, or are they extra within the building, confines of the building? On the mezzanine floor,
you've 1 minute left.
No, on the mezzanine floor, I've noticed that there's no fire escape door, only the one staircase going up to that mezzanine floor. I haven't seen fire escape for their safety. In time, 3 to 4 years, 10 years, will the place of worship will have outgrown itself, and will they want to build a bigger place of worship on the site of the old snooker hall, with the frontage being remained as their entrance and exit? On that note, that will then increase foot traffic on the Sandon Road. It will increase vehicular traffic at the rear, possibly leading up to 800 people. Am I done?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I went quick.
We have another speaker in support, Mr. Mohammed Afar.
Am I okay to sit here or?
Yeah, well, sir, Mr. Carr, you can return to your seat now.
Okay, thank you. Good to see you.
Once again, you've got 3 minutes, and I'll indicate when you've got 1 minute left.
Thank you, Councillor Dixon. In addressing the councillors, I would like to touch upon some of the points that have been made by the previous speaker. We got the application registered back in February. We worked very diligently with Ms. Hannah Cross from day one. As she pointed out, there was a number of queries, questions, issues raised from the beginning. I have to say, from the word go, we've work with our client pretty much holding their hand in terms of how to progress the application. Having looked at the site, having looked at the building, the actual works themselves are limited. The actual building itself is very limited. The new proposal that's being proposed is a very small section of an extension. We have looked at the parking side, we have looked at noise and other pollutions. In terms of the numbers that we've been given were the total numbers, and again, we're quite happy with the conditions that were imposed as part of the possible planning approval. And again, I've discussed them in detail with the planner, with the client, and we don't see those changing. We're more than happy that the client will adhere to those conditions in terms of numbers, in terms of usage, in terms of parking. Again, from day one, we were quite open in responding to Ms. Hannah from any query that was submitted pretty much straight away. We've gone through environmental agency, we've gone through the highway section. In terms of the design itself, we quite happily took on board any comments that were made in terms of obscure glazing. And in terms of the actual mezzanine level, yes, we are more than happy to provide any additional request for information, but because this is a minimal two-storey building, there wasn't any need in our minds to provide anything more than what was asked for. But we're more than happy.
You have 1 minute left.
Yeah. But we're more than happy to provide anything more that's been asked for. I'm not aware of anything else that's been suggested or addressed. We were asked to change the red line at the last minute, which we did, and that was just an oversight on everybody's part in terms of the ownership. There are two access points being proposed, an access in and an access out. But like I said, the actual conversion of the building and the changes are so minimal that it's not going to have any major impact on the surroundings. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll open it out to the committee now. Yes, Andy.
I know that area pretty well because I get the granddaughter from John Wilton School two or three times a week. So I know the building in question. It does look tired there. Plus you've got the Sandonia there right next to it, the great big hole knocked in the middle, which looks a total mess. So I think the fact that that building will be tidied up, made to look nice, come back into use, will really improve the area. I know people have spoke about the parking, but as I read in the officer's report, it meets with the parking regulations. And similarly, the same with the flood objections. So I don't see any reason to object to it, really. So I would propose that we accept it, you know, as here, with the conditions that are proposed with the application.
Okay, thank you. Scott?
Thanks. Kind of going on from what's been said there about the look of the area and so forth, I have no issue with the application as such, although I feel that we should be following the sort of what was set out in the local plan, which is sort of stating that we should open space and landscape should be given sort of credence to that and sort of improving our centres. And I noticed on plan 5 in the presentation, there's details of sort of vegetation and sort of landscaping along that front edge. However, what I don't see in the report is a condition which we normally have in, which is planting needs to be maintained and any replacements within 5 years. That doesn't appear to be here. There is a condition planning which is condition 8, which says boundary treatment shall be completed in accordance with approved details. So I presume that is a boundary. So I'd like to see, if possible, if we to approve this, a condition stating that landscaping needs to be maintained, should be replaced within a 5-year period as we would normally set out. And I would also add, quickly if I may, that any additional planting that could be put in there to sort of increase the street scene and sort of improve it in any way would be appreciated.
Jill?
Yes. Having looked at this, and I've been and had a look at the area, it really is in a poor, sad state. There's litter everywhere, the building's broken down, the fencing needs painting. It seems that every condition has been met. We've got no objections from any agency. And it also talks about the fact that the flooding authority talks about it will actually help stop the flooding that's appearing in the area. I think it's good that we've got a building that's going to be made to look attractive, and I don't see any objections to this whatsoever. whatsoever, and I'm happy to
are you seconding Andy's proposal?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. As a procedural point, the recommendation is to approve subject to conditions. But can I refer you to page 10, paragraph 5.5? And it's the last sentence there. So any approval will be subject to a financial contribution towards a travel plan monitoring fee. So the recommendation should be approved subject to conditions and a legal agreement to secure a financial contribution towards the travel plan monitoring fee. And that should be recorded in the minutes as well.
Okay, thank you. I'd also like to say that are you proposing your condition be included in this, Scott, about the planting and the maintenance?
I would like to, if members are minded.
Okay.
Well, before we go to that, Roy wanted to speak.
Yes, I was just going to ask the applicant, are you content, and is everybody content, that dawn prayers are not going to be allowed during the summer period?
Do you want me to sort of respond to that? We've given clear timings. As you know, timings for prayers, depending on the time, they move throughout the course of the year.
Exactly.
So, and the early morning prayers, if you like, with the ones that may be of a concern, the number of people that will be attending those will be so limited, and that tends to be the case throughout the country. So whatever numbers we may have given for the morning or the afternoon prayer may not be the case for the morning prayer, the dawn prayer.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you. Moving back, does anyone else want to speak on this?
Councillor Spencer, in terms of the landscaping condition, do you want the condition to require that landscaping is provided in accordance with the approved plan as shown on there?
Yes.
And then a 5-year retention replacement condition as well? That's
yes.
The standard. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Is that all right with your proposal?
Yeah.
Well, if nobody else wishes to speak, shall we take it to the vote? All those in favour of approval, please show. That's unanimous, though. Well, thank you all.
And that is just to clarify, that's approval in relation to the amended condition.
The amended condition.
And the 106 travel condition.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, listen.
Is that okay?
Yeah,
I
just
want
to.
Just
so that it's.
Right, we're moving on to the next application now, which is.
Just the members of the public would like to leave.
Yeah, if anyone wishes to leave now, they're quite welcome to. Right, the next application is 24/395684, land adjacent to the Lake House, Butt Lane, Ranton, Staffordshire.
Okay. The application site comprises an area of land associated with the established ranch and trout fisheries business, and the proposal is for 7 holiday lodges with a mixture of 1 and 2 bedrooms, together with an access track, packaged sewage plant and landscaping. The area of existing hard standing, which I'll show you during the presentation, but the vehicle access of the site will be extended, and each lodge will also be served by its own car parking area. I'll explain the proposal in more detail, as I run through the presentation. In terms of procedural matters, since the agenda was published, we've received 2 additional neighbour representations. The first relates to the letting off of fireworks by the applicant, which is not relevant to the consideration of this application. It's not a material planning consideration. In terms of the second representation, in summary, the neighbour considers that traffic movements from the proposed development have been underestimated, and that the application should be refused on highway safety grounds in accordance with the objection from the highway authority. Before I run through the presentation, I'll just take you through the issues. So the principle of development is acceptable in terms of E2 and E6 and the MPPF. So it is, whilst it's in a rural location, it is a policy compliant scheme. No concerns are raised in respect of the proposal's impact on the character and appearance of the area, residential amenity, ecology, including BNG, can't chase sack, drainage or flooding, but subject to appropriate conditions which are listed. The Highway Authority raised no concerns over the proposed access arrangement following the submission of speed surveys or on-site car parking provision, but again subject to appropriate conditions. The Highway Authority do, however, maintain an objection over pedestrian vehicle conflict along Butt Lane, given the lack of segregated facilities and also the proposal not constituting sustainable development. As explained in paragraphs 8.12 and 8.13, officers consider on the evidence submitted that the increase in traffic movements generated by the proposal and driver speed survey data, that it would not be reasonable to refuse the application on this ground, and taking into account MPPF paragraph 16. I'll take you through the presentation now. So this is the application site in red. This is the existing access which would be utilised, and this brownish area is the existing car parking area. I'll show you. So you can see, you can just see the access drive there and the hard surfacing. This is the fishing pond associated with the trout fishery business, and this is the applicant's house, known as England's House. So we have a series of 6 photographs. The first looks directly at the exact access, and then photographs 2 and 3 are looking along Butt Lane. So I'll just show you those first. So this is the existing access, which would be modified. This is looking at a wider angle from the southwest. This is Butt Lane. This is looking in the opposite direction, and we'll perhaps come back to these photographs if you want to discuss the highway's objection concerns. The last 3 photographs are basically these are the existing buildings by the car park, and then the other photographs will just pan round across the site. You might just keep an eye on this tree here. The point, so there you go. So it's a relatively flat site. It's Greenfield. Now going on to the drawings. So here we have, this is Butt Lane. So this is the access car parking area, new access track, seven lodges, first three are one bed, second three are two bed, and then we have a larger lodge further into the site on plot seven. This plan shows landscaping, which achieves the BNG uplift. And here we have the visibility splays, which Highways have required in order to agree with the access arrangement. You can see here that there is a 10 metre setback with the access drive in order for a refuse vehicle to pull off Butt Lane, and we now have sliding gates. These are the one and two bed lodges, mono-pitch roofs, quite low profile, and the larger lodge on plot seven, as you can see, quite large. But officers consider that, in general, there would be no detrimental impact on the character of the area. The recommendation is to approve, subject to conditions, the conditions listed, and a legal agreement to secure a financial contribution towards the current SAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Again, we have some speakers. Victoria Walker. Once again, you've got 3 minutes, and I'll indicate when you've got 1 minute left.
Chair, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to speak. I'm here on behalf of local residents to ask you to refuse this application on the grounds of highway safety, sustainability, residential amenity, community wellbeing and safeguarding. Highway's objection remains fundamental. All routes to the site are narrow, often single-track, rural lanes with no formal passing places, soft verges, blind bends and limited visibility. These roads already struggle with existing traffic. They are used daily by walkers, dog walkers, cyclists, horse riders and children from the nearby residential care facility. Introducing holidaymaker traffic significantly raises the risk of collisions. It's important to emphasise that even the applicant's own consultant acknowledges conflict on these lanes. As local residents, we can say plainly, there is no safe way to increase vehicle movements without creating real danger. When fully occupied, these lodges would bring more visitors into this small area than there are permanent residents living on Brook Lane. There are no local services within walking distance. All visitors will be entirely car dependent. The location fails the most basic tests of sustainable rural tourism under the NPPF. There is zero economic benefit to the local community and significant burden on its infrastructure. Opposite this site is Bulrush Cottage, a residential home for some of the most vulnerable children in the county. Their placement here relies on its quiet, rural, therapeutic setting. Increased traffic, noise, footfall and activity threaten the safety, stability and well-being of children whose needs are exceptionally high. It would be remiss of me not to alert you to two recent incidents where commercial-grade fireworks were discharged from the property. Significant debris landed on our properties and the public highway in clear violation of DEFRA guidance and the Animal Welfare Act. These incidents caused profound and lasting distress to pets, livestock and a resident's severely autistic son and raised legitimate questions about the suitability of the site to host paying guests. Should the committee be minded to approve the application despite these risks, we respectfully request that strict conditions are applied. No permitted development rights, no 365-day use with a strict occupancy limit, large no-access signage at Brook Lane and Hextall Lane, a reduced 30-mile-an-hour limit on Moor End Lane with traffic calming measures, a ban on fireworks, large gatherings and noise after 9 p.m. and before 9 a.m, mandatory management plans covering noise, waste and visitor conduct. In closing, this proposal is unsafe, unsustainable and incompatible with the character and capacity of this rural area. The risks, especially to highway safety and vulnerable residents, outweigh any perceived benefits. We therefore ask the committee to refuse the application. Thank you.
Thank you. We now have someone speaking in support, Mr. Michael Kitching. Once again, you have 3 minutes, and I'll indicate when you've got
Thank
one
you.
Minute left.
Members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of this application. My name is Michael Kitching. I'm a director of SK Transport Planning. I have 30 years professional traffic and transport planning experience from the public and private sector. The planning application in front of you is quite rightly recommended for approval by your planning officers. You've heard that the modest holiday lodge proposals accord with your adopted local planning policies and relevant policies in the National Planning Policy Framework. Your planning officers have carefully considered all aspects of the scheme. The committee report confirmed there's no planning, landscape, noise, transport, highway safety or sustainable development reasons to refuse the planning application. The committee report confirms that the proposals also have the potential to complement the existing fisheries leisure operation, a scheme permitted by the council in 2012. In addition, the proposals will support other established businesses, having a positive effect by increasing visitor spend in local shops, cafes and restaurants. You've heard concerns from residents in the village regarding the proposals. Please remember the applicants and their family will also be close residents of the holiday lodges. They will ensure visitors adhere to all rules regarding occupancy numbers, noise, arrival and departure times, respecting the local area and residential amenity. The scheme will deliver an upgraded vehicular access from Butt Lane, which currently provides access to the fishery. The access design, including visibility displays, gate setback distance and parking provision for the lodges and fishery, are all agreed with your officers. And it's also agreed that Butt Lane is a lightly trafficked route, with an average of just 82 vehicle movements each day per corridor, and 85th percentile speeds are 26 miles per hour or less. The committee report confirms over the last 5 years this route has no record of personal collisions, and the lodges are predicted to generate just 14 additional daily vehicle movements. This will have no impact on traffic flow or highway safety.
You have 1 minute left.
Thank you. The matter of the site being sustainably located has been raised by your highways officers. Your planning officers confirmed to you in paragraph 815 that, and I quote, it is considered that the proposal would provide sustainable rural tourist-related development and is therefore acceptable. In response to this reasoning, the application has been called into committee. Your officers report there will be no threats to local community and street scene. There are no highway issues to contest. You also have the comfort that a robust and extensive set of planning conditions will control the use of the lodges once operational. And to conclude, we ask you follow your planning officer's professional recommendation to approve the scheme. They've confirmed to you there are no technical grounds to refuse this local and national policy compliance scheme. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Rowe, do you want to speak? You have 5 minutes, and I'll indicate when you've 1 minute or so.
Good evening, committee. I would strongly recommend that the planning committee refuse this application. Although there are potential positives to this application, such as to the rural economy and to improvements in local biodiversity, I still strongly believe that the identified negative consequences outweigh any potential benefits to the local area. The greatest and most evident reason this application should be refused is on highways grounds. This was by far the greatest concern that's been raised to me over the last several months, either at parish council meetings or residents ringing me directly to raise their anxieties. The lanes accessing the site are solely single-track lanes with limited passing places, several blind bends, and are littered in deep potholes and become regularly flooded. The construction of development will require almost a year of HGV and other vehicles delivering materials. These lanes are wholly unsuitable for prolonged periods of HGV movement that will not only have a detrimental effect on the already failing road surfaces, but will also dramatically increase the risk of collisions. Once the site is operational, the increase in car users will also pose a significant safety risk of local residents that regularly use the lanes for exercise, either dog walking, cycling or horse riding. Visitors of the site may have little to no experience driving on single track country lanes. The location of the site is important not just in relation to the lanes and access to the site, but also when discussing amenities and services that visitors would require. The nearest shop and pub are located well over 2 miles away, either in Nosal or Horton, again accessed entirely by single track country lanes with no public transport provisions. Therefore, visitors of the site would be solely reliable on private vehicles to access these amenities. It is therefore reasonable to ascertain that visitors would either have a negligible impact on the local economy due to difficulty accessing such, or that a positive contribution to the local economy would have an even more negative impact on local road users near and surrounding the site. Many applications and businesses similar to this application which have been approved are accessed either by designated B roads or dual track lanes, with cars being able to travel in both directions simultaneously. It's crucial for me to highlight that if this application was in a different location, then I would be in favour of it. But I urge the committee to fully consider the location of the application and the effects this would have on local residents. However, if you still do not believe myself or the countless neighbour consultees, please heed the recommended refusal of the Highways Department. The Highways Department reason for refusal is on the basis that the proposal would exacerbate the risk of conflict between vehicles, pedestrians and cyclists due to the design of the highway with limited passing places and no street lighting. The Highways Authority also raised concerns that the proposal does not constitute sustainable development in that it is entirely reliant on private cars. Another important consideration when discussing the location of this application is the close proximity to Borish Cottage, a children's home. Like many children's homes in the rural area, the home's location was chosen for its secluded environment to reduce the risk of those children going missing and help break the cycle of exploitation. Many children at Borish Cottage have a history of running away, which local residents are well aware of and therefore extra vigilant when driving these narrow lanes. However, visitors to this site would be unaware of this and would therefore pose a safety risk to these vulnerable children. There is great concern that if this application was to be approved, then Borish Cottage would lose its licence with Ofsted due to the increased dangers to the children. If the committee was minded to approve this application, then I would implore that further considerations and conditions are placed on the application in order to mitigate the risk of car collisions, such as traffic calming measures, increased signage and a change of speed limit, or something along those lines. Thank you for your time tonight, and I do hope that you make the right decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Rose. Would anyone like to start the discussion? Yes, Andrew.
I'll just say, I thought mainly that if they're one bedroom lodges, and possibly the type of person who wants to go somewhere like that, is going for a quiet life. You know, I don't think the big parts is necessarily all fireworks. They've probably gone to sit and relax fishing. And so, you know, they might not even want to, as you say, go to the local amenities by car. But, you know, I don't really see a massive reason for objecting to it.
Anyone else? Scott? Go on.
Was it me?
Yeah, go on.
Well, it seems to me that this is a modest development. I mean, 7 lodges is quite minimal. And the traffic flow is minimal also. 82 vehicles over a 7-day period doesn't seem like many cars and vehicles. But it does obviously need some more signage, some more street lighting, and probably some traffic calming measures to make it safe. I mean, is that something we can bring about? I mean, that's the County Council, isn't it?
It's a highway authority land. The applicant doesn't have control over that land, so we're not able to secure those measures.
And that's what's needed, but you know, obviously the fireworks were an issue, but I mean, you can get quieter fireworks or not use fireworks, you know. I mean, it's not like people are going to go there every weekend and blast off fireworks, is it really? and the building supplies causing issues. That's just for a limited period, isn't it? So you know, I don't think it's such a bad thing, really.
I do have potential conflict with myself about vehicle movements. It says that the baseline from various surveys is 82 vehicles over a 7-day period. Now, dependent on the usage of these properties and the turnover of guests, you could potentially have, let's say there's 14 spaces there, you've got an additional probably 14 from the fishery unit itself, which is 30 cars there straight away. Let's say guests change over every couple of days, you've got potentially 40 or 50 movements per day, which equates to 350 over a week, whereas the actual, as it says, the baseline is 82. So you've got an increase in vehicle movement fourfold on a single track lane. So because I think it's very relevant that the lane hasn't got much vehicle traffic movement at the moment, it's operating quite well. But what you're asking this lane to do is a fourfold increase, potentially, maybe more, depending on when the guests turn up and the handover guests, the people that are servicing the area, cleaners and so forth and so on, people cutting grass, all this kind of thing. There's a substantial increase on a lane which has, and I do know this lane, has no passing places whatsoever. People that don't know the area, potentially outside of the area, don't know maybe how to drive on lanes and such. I think there is significant vehicle conflict, not only between locals but also people that are visiting the area and the speed that they feel they can do on this lane. So I think the highway's concern is relevant to this application.
I'll come to you in a minute, Terry Peter.
Addressing the situation that it's a single track lane, I drive down a single track lane every day, praying that no one is going to come the other way. Normally my prayers are answered. But people adapt. You don't drive quickly down a single track lane. And they've been doing it for how many years? People who are coming to stay at this lodge, they're going to have common sense and realise that it's a single track lane. You go very, very slowly. As for the children's home, I'm a corporate parent. I'm fully aware of children that go missing. And really, I don't think we can take that into consideration with this planning application. The children's home is there. They don't normally have a huge amount of children. It's normally a very, very low number. But I'm sorry, I don't know about this one. But as I say, people are going to be extremely careful driving. So if there are children who have decided they're going to go missing and they can't be stopped, they just leave, then people will be aware that their speed is crucial. And maybe this holiday home can actually put a leaflet in or something on their website just to say to people, please be considerate. We have a children's home close by. Beware. Thank you.
Peter.
I'll just make a point of the fact that where we have a situation where people are living permanently, in fact, on these narrow roads as such, they are the ones, in actual fact, that understand what the problem is, and they drive very safely. We're talking about here, in fact, of cars that are arriving here which maybe don't even drive on this sort of road, in which case they are putting everybody in danger. I think the actual traffic side of this particular site should be the factor that determines that it should not go ahead.
Can I speak again?
Yes, go on.
Just on the point of people from outside, somebody brought that up in the previous planning application, and it kind of seemed to think that people in towns and cities don't have an idea of driving in the country, and I think that does all a disservice itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, drivers drive all over the place, they don't sort of like they're going somewhere unique that they've kind of been before. Used to drive around the road, residential areas. I don't think that would be an objection or something.
Any other comments?
Robbie, I suppose. Yeah, I would have preferred if you put that could have added some of the conditions with regards to signage, but that is to do with the highways, and that's out of our agreement, is it?
If it's on highway land, then it would be highway authority, but if it's within the applicant's ownership, then some signage, directional signage, etc., doesn't require advertisement consent. It's called deemed consent. But other types of signage does require advertisement consent. And it will be dependent upon the nature of the signage, whether it could do that under kind of advertisement PD rights, or whether it would require a formal application. We just don't know that at this point in time.
But it's not a condition that we can add.
I think you could. What kind of signage would you be looking at? Slow or
yes, caution and slow.
But you wouldn't be able to put that on highway land.
No, not very soon.
So it wouldn't be readily visible to users of the highway.
Go on, Scott. Yeah.
Is the site owner or applicant here?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? It's
relevant. The clarification,
yeah.
Does the applicant own the land along Butt Lane for its entirety, the length of this scheme?
Whatever's been read, yeah, I think it's 10 acres in total what I own. I think that's what it's about, actually.
Do you own the hedge and the verge?
I've got that to ask.
Yes.
Yes.
This is the...
Excuse me, I think we might be able to help if you allow Michael to answer that.
So I think that plan is very helpful, in that you can see the red line boundary, which is obviously the application, and you can see the blue line boundary, which is obviously the land that's controlled by the applicant. So you can see his residential property there, you can see the access, the existing access to the fishery, and the car park and the new access route is through there. So in answer to your question, on the northeastern side of Butt Lane, that land is effectively highway verge and then is under the ownership of the applicant. So there's no third party or ransom strip along that section. Mm-hmm.
So just to clarify, so what we're saying is this highway land here?
Correct.
But the hedge is in the applicant's control.
Yes,
ownership rather.
And in terms of the point you were just asking, in terms of signage, obviously that can be put on the applicant's land, and then they've got the opportunity for a welcome pack. Obviously, I'm sure we all do when we go on holiday. When you book somewhere, you're given a pamphlet, information as to what is on offer, the routes to arrive by, timings, everything else that goes with it. So if there's a need for any additional information to be included in that can be, before the person arrives at the site.
Yes,
the reason I ask is because obviously the vehicle conflict, which has been raised by the highways department, you know, could be alleviated by putting in passing places, but obviously if highways own part of that strip, then that is potentially out of the question, unless...
There could be a possibility of a Grampian condition, but there are tests which need to be applied, and that one is land ownership, mm-hmm. which we can't secure at this point in time because we don't know whether the highway authority would agree to that, mm-hmm. and also the cost of doing that, whether that would be disproportionate mm-hmm. to the development which is being proposed. So at that point, this point in time, I don't have an answer for that.
Yes,
I would just like to endorse, in fact, the fact that we are talking about, in fact, a holiday site. That means we've got people coming from all over the UK, living in different areas to this sort of thing. They may never ever have a small road like this where they're actually living. It could be something totally new for them. And of course, it's not a case of just going down there once in the morning or once in the evening, etc. if they're in a holiday home scenario, they'll be going to other areas or sites that they want to go to see as part of their trip, which means that that lane is going to be used quite a lot and it's dangerous.
Rob?
Yeah, I don't accept the if you're out of the area, you're not going to be driving carefully. I know that if I'm in a strange environment, I tend to drive more carefully than I would in my I mean, you'd be more worried about vehicles coming the other way, and I'd be a lot more cautious. So I don't accept that argument.
Has anybody got any proposals to make?
I'll propose we accept the officer's recommendations.
Yeah.
Approve it.
There was suggestion of a welcome pack to advise guests.
Yeah.
That could be an additional condition. We put that
with
large residential schemes, which are in proximity to Cannock Chase and the SAC. We do have a standard condition to make them aware of that. We could put something about highway safety.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We could agree a welcome pack and the detail for that as condition.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're adding that on as a condition. That's with
that
members that condition.
Yeah.
Have we got a seconder for that proposal? And you're seconding
it
with those conditions. Well, we better take a vote on it then. All those in favour? Those against? I'll vote with the officer's recommendation to approve. Okay, thank you. The public may leave now if they wish to before we move on to the next one.
Thank you.
Richard. Could you leave, please, if you were going to? Members of the public? Excuse me, could you leave now so we can move on to the next application? The next application is 25/40389 out. Waste Transfer Station, Whitgreave Manor Holding, Whitgreave Lane.
So this application relates to an area of land currently used as small holding. It's located in the rural settlement of Whitgreave. The application site lies just south of Whitgreave Manor and Whitgreave Manor Cottage, residential dwellings just to the north. The site falls outside of any recognised settlement and in policy terms is located in open countryside. The application seeks outline permission with all matters reserved, the erection of a self-held dwelling. So that's the red edge shown there, so access would be from Whitgreave Lane. An aerial view of the site, you can see apart from the two dwellings it's surrounded by open fields, and just to the east, just outside of that picture, is the A34 which runs between Stafford and Stone. So just a few photos of the site. That's the existing access point along Whitgreave Lane. That's the access track taken facing towards Whitgreave Lane. The existing manor just on your left and the manor cottage on your right. This is the application site, so there's currently some development, hard surfacing, a small shed building, with pig pens and chicken rooms when I went outside. And that's the view of the site again, facing towards Whitgreave Lane. That's taken along the access track, so that's the rear of the manor cottage. This is the location site, so Edge Blue is also land in the ownership of the applicant for context. And an indicative site plan has been provided, but as all matters are reserved, this is only indicative at this stage. So in terms of issues, the key consideration with the current application is whether the site represents a sustainable location for residential development. The site does not fall within or adjacent to a settlement recognised within the plan for Stafford Borough. The MPPF aims to direct development to locations whereby the need to travel is limited and there is a genuine choice of sustainable transport modes. Walking to services such as schools, doctors, shops is not considered practical, due to the distance of the site from these services and there being no footway on parts of the A34, which would lead to Stafford. Whilst there is a bus stop on this side of the A34, which provides services towards Stone and Hanley, occupiers would need to walk along the unlit Whitgreave Lane with no footway to access this, and upon return would have to cross the four lanes of the A34. For bus services towards Stafford, residents would again need to cross the A34 highway. As such, bus is not considered a practical option, especially in the winter months. On this basis, it's considered occupiers would be reliant on the use of a private vehicle, and the location is not sustainable for residential development. The officer recommendation is for refusal, in line with the reason given in the officer report.
Thank you. We have a speaker, Mr. Mark Stevens.
Thank you.
You've got 3 minutes, and I'll indicate when you've got 1 minute left to sum up.
So, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I have the privilege of owning Whitgreave Manor. At the rear of this property is a large section of wasteland, hence the terms used. I love Whitgreave, we've been made very welcome and I want to stay there. On this wasteland there is a large grotty barn with two very large areas of concrete. It's a higher elevation than the main land and I want to build a house for my son. Primarily to get on the property ladder, a property that hopefully in time I can retire to. As I say, the land is elevated so you can have an excellent view all across the countryside of Staffordshire despite the noise of the A34 and the M6. There is a footpath running all the way along the A34 and there is a very good crossing across the A34 to the bus stop to the south heading in towards Stafford. I'm an avid cyclist. I have in the parish council notes you'll see that I've requested the edges get cut along the footpath from time to time to make it easier to cycle along. The strategic planning placemaking team, who have the specialist policy role, reach the opposite conclusion to the case officer and state that consent should be granted once the tilted balance is applied. With respect, their interpretation should be given greater weight as they are policy specialists and not the case officer. I think the case officer has applied an urban sustainability test to a rural location, which is contrary to both the wording and spirit of the National Planning Policy Framework. Rural locations, by definition, have reduced public transport options. That is not a basis for refusal. It is unreasonable to characterise a site 600 metres from Stafford's boundary as an isolated or intrinsically unsustainable. The council must have due regard under public sector equality due to the needs of disabled people, including enabling them to live independently in the appropriate accommodation. Not every disability is visible. The officer's reasoning should not assume that car dependence is inherent or negative, because for many disabled residents,
you have 1 minute left.
It is essential that it enables day-to-day living. This proposal has support from the forward planning from every technical consultant who faces no objection other than an over-strict interpretation of sustainability that is inconsistent with natural planning policy framework. The site is not isolated, it's 600 metres from Stafford's boundary. In rural edge locations, car use is normal and expressly recognised by national policy. The tilted balance applies and weighs strongly in favour of the granting planning permission. No adverse impacts have been shown that significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits of delivering a self-built dwelling, helping meet the borough's identified need and making modest but valuable housing supply contributions. I therefore respectfully request that the committee overturn the officer recommendation and grant permission subject to conditions. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody wish to make a comment?
I'd just like to note that there haven't been any responses from the parish council or the neighbours.
No.
Kind of interesting.
If I'm permitted to speak.
For clarification?
Yes, for clarification. I have made inquiries. The councillor, I spoke to the head councillor, wasn't aware of it. I made him aware of the application, but it hadn't come in before the parish council, and Jack Rose has confirmed that as well. Neither he nor the Emma Ward, I think, the council were aware of the application, but he made aware of it.
Okay, thank you. Anyone?
I've just looked on the map and there is a footpath and there is a cycle path. And does your son live with you now?
Yeah.
So there's not extra cars, it's somebody with a vehicle already. Should this go back to be reviewed? I mean, it's not quite true, is it?
There's not a footway all the way along the 834 that would lead to, well, they couldn't reasonably walk to schools, doctors, etc.
Is
my
view anyway.
But he's living there anyway with a car.
I think that's the definition of the sustainability, isn't it? The proximity. Yes.
Can I ask, are families that live in Whitby themselves, is there a bus service there? I imagine there's not. Mm. I imagine also there's children there that need to get to school, which I imagine are driven because they can't walk from that location. And yet, Whitby village, I imagine, would not be termed unsustainable because it is a village already, and this is merely an extension of that, and it's already in its own cluster of buildings in itself. So for me, it's not a development in open fields. It's almost an infill in an existing old settlement, which I've looked on historic maps, has been there for 200 years or more. So I am struggling with the officer's recommendation on it. Thank you, Chair.
Roy?
I have to agree with him. You know, this is open countryside. It's a site that has got a building on it at the moment and some hard standing. He's going to build one house, so if you want to put a condition in, the condition should be no further development on that site. But you're talking about one house, you know, in an area which, you know, it's not going to affect anybody, is it? I mean, the guy is living there already. I can't see the point of refusing this, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I really can't.
Yeah, I think just going back to one of the reasons for the previous application with regards to roads and that, and there's no pavement there. The argument was made in favour for it. Very similar sort of situation, similar sort of track. There's one house.
Exactly.
And Jill?
I don't see any reason for refusing this. As has been described by the gentleman, there's a grotty building there. You know, I think it can only enhance the area. So I'm sorry, I don't agree with the refusal.
Do you want
I move that we overturn the refusal and allow the development to go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask Richard to clarify the
you'll
reason.
You'll need a reason. So, if I just give you policy context. So, in the absence of a 5-year housing land supply, where we currently are, unfortunately, this application would be recommended for refusal because there would be a fundamental policy conflict. However, because we don't have a 5-year housing land supply, we have to apply paragraph 11 of the MPPF and what we call a tilted balance in terms of whether this you consider as a committee. The location of this property is not unsustainable when applying the tilted balance. And I think that's what you're arriving at, Councillor James.
We're looking at page 6, sorry.
I've got the paragraph 11 up on the screen.
Yeah.
That helps. So our emphasis is that we should still be having particular regard to key policies for directing developments to sustainable locations, i.e. that people can travel sustainably to access services.
Chair, I don't understand how this is, as Councillor Kenny said, that this is termed unsustainable, whereas 7 properties are considered sustainable. It does not make any sense at all.
It's a different policy test in terms of residential as opposed to rural tourism.
Right.
But paragraph 11, so in the absence of us having a 5-year housing land supply, policies relevant to this proposal are out of date, so you have to apply a tilted balance. Now, committee can take a different view to officers and say, in terms of location, it's not unsustainable when applying a tilted balance. That would be the reason.
That would be the reason for overturn.
I'll move that that's the reason then, Mr. Chairman.
Can we maybe also add the condition which you outlined previously?
Yeah, no further development on the site.
Can we condition that to it?
Can you
be a condition? What you
would
do is...
I have no intention of adding to it.
20 years down the line, your son might have a different view and decide he wants to build 3 more houses on that site. No.
Can I come back there, Councillor James? So any other application for additional dwellings would require another application.
Right, okay, yeah, that's true.
But what you need to remember is this application is in outline form. So if you approve the outline of all matters reserved, you would then be considering a subsequent reserve matters application for access.
Size and scale.
Yeah, appearance, landscape, etc. But as an issue of principle, going back to what you said, you may want to remove permitted development rights for other buildings, outbuildings, extensions, etc.
Good point. Yeah.
As an issue of principle.
Yeah. I would second Councillor James on that.
So we've got your proposal, and you've seconded that. All those in favour then?
Could that be attached to the outline?
That's with the condition of.
That will be a condition of the outline.
The condition of the
outline. Principle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those in favour of that then? Well, that's carried.
So what I'll suggest is that we would need a BNG condition, which is standard as an issue of principle. Materials, etc., would be covered under the appearance of the dwelling as a reserve matter, plus the scale, etc., landscaping. I don't think
environmental health requested construction hours and deliveries to have limited times as well.
So we could construction management plan.
Yeah.
Yep. CMP as an issue of principle, because these matters, you're not able to secure these matters at reserve matter stage.
And BNG is
mandatory. That's the mandatory. It's mandatory anyway. We need to demonstrate it. Is this for self build?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So we'd have a self. We'd also have a self build conditions as well.
But we will need a UU anyway for a Carrot Chase contribution.
So basically, the self build you wouldn't need the BMG condition, sorry, because if you self-build, that's exempt from BMG.
Do we need to take a vote on that again, or you've modified it?
I think we need to take a vote as to what the resolution actually is.
Yeah.
So it's to approve, subject to conditions for PD removal, construction management plan, self-build.
There's a new issue as well.
Oh, district licence, new tissue.
We need to provide proof that a licence can be granted.
And then we would also, it would also be subject to a legal agreement for
the fee towards Cannock Chase SAC.
Towards the SAC. Which would normally be secured under a unilateral undertaking. So it would be approved subject to those measures.
Should we just take that vote again on those conditions? All those in favour? Yeah. Okay then, that's carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. We now move on to 25/409784, 30 Greengate Street, Stafford.
So, yeah, this application's before you purely because the authority now own this building. I think 12 months ago we didn't, and it would come before you. So it's just for the installation of 6 external condenser units to serve the job centre. So,
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go and get some water. Oh no, there's no water, is there? There is some water.
Does anybody have a glass?
Yeah, there's one here. Here we go.
Sorry, Chairman. Thank you.
So, I'll just. Hopefully, you know the site, so. It's going to go on here basically, wall mounted.
I don't recognise it at all.
Yeah. Two photographs. So, 5 on this elevation, and 1 on this here. You know that this flat roof element has a parapet wall around it,
yeah.
So. They've done some, they've taken measurements. Conservation office is happy that there won't be any impact on the conservation area or the grade 2 star listed post house. I think the noise output is between 59 and 61 decibels. Environmental health haven't come back to me, although I did request that. But I've Googled it, and apparently that output is the equivalent to a conversation somebody's having. But again, there are no residential properties near this building, apart from, well, they're slightly set further back, aren't they, along Millbank. But I think what we also have to be aware of is...
It's quiet, it sounds quiet.
Yeah. I mean, there is other plant on there, as you can see.
I think we approve this, don't we?
Yeah.
I move to approve.
Yeah.
And seconded. All those in favour? Now then, moving on. Appeal decisions on page 64. Has anyone got any comments on that? Well, the last item is enforcement matters. Now, she'll have to read that out for the sake of the recording. We now move on to the confidential part of the meeting. the public shall be excluded from the remainder of the meeting because of the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraphs 1, 2 and 7, part 1, schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972 as amended. Not for publication, report of the Head of the Economic Development and Planning from item 7 onwards. The report is confidential due to the inclusion of information relating to an individual, which is likely to reveal the identity of an individual, relating to any action taken or to be taken in connection with the prevention, investigation or prosecution of a crime. I require the committee to vote for this to take place. Do I have a proposer?
Yeah.
And a seconder, Rob. All those in favour?